Of course, there may be other kinds of gurus also. Prabhupada has explained that anyone who's really trying to help us in spiritual life, who knows more than we do, they can be taken as a kind of guru also. Just like in a class, you have the head teacher, but then the head teacher also has some monitors who learn, for instance, 1 + 1 = 2, and they go and tell the younger children that 1 + 1 = 2. Therefore, they're actually representatives of the actual teacher. But they can't be said to have all the qualifications of the actual teacher. It's not that they went to teach at training college to teach people how to teach 1 + 1 = 2. But because they're repeating the same thing that their teacher has told them, therefore they're acting as a teacher also. Therefore they're called monitors. The Prabhupada mentions that in the Easy Journey to Other Planets, that at a certain level one can become a monitor guru. That doesn't mean that one is fully qualified, or as Prabhupada says in that purport, that there are different ways of understanding Krishna. One of them is objective and the other is subjective. So objective generally means that there's no question that it's someone's opinion. An objective opinion means there's some devotees that are situated on the absolute platform. And Krishna talks about them in the Bhagavad Gita when he says, Vidya Vinaya Sampane Brahmani Gavi Hastini Shuni Chaiva Svapakesha Pandita Samadarshanaha. That the learned and gentle sages, learned and gentle, no? That maybe it's Vidya Vinaya. The learned Vidya Vinaya, the learned and gentle sages see with an equal vision the sages by the virtue of knowledge, see with an equal vision the learned and gentle Brahman, the cow, the dog, and the dog eater. Not that they just hypothetically see, but they actually see everyone is Krishna's eternal servant. So that's the absolute realization that Krishna talks about in the Bhagavad Gita. Very simple realization, but we're not, unless one is very simple, simply in Krishna consciousness, one will not be able to see so clearly how everyone is actually a soul within a body. Yavat Sanjaya Deyakin Chit Satvam Stavara Jangama Kshetra Kshetri Tata Kritsna Prakashi Kibharata. That a sensible person, he'll be able to see Yavatsanjayate Kinshit Satram Stavar Shandama. That in both the moving and the non-moving beings, it's only a combination of the field and the knower of the field. In other words, there's only souls in this world in different variety in body or clothed with different types of material energy. Just like if someone has a pink shirt or a green shirt, an orange shirt, we don't think the person has changed. Mr. Patel, yesterday he was Mr. Patel because he had an orange shirt. Today, he's not Mr. Patel anymore because he's wearing a green shirt. No, it doesn't matter what your clothes are, Mr. Patel is Mr. Patel. Similarly, the soul is always the soul, no matter what combination of the three modes of material nature or the gross and subtle material elements the soul has put on in the form of a material body. The samsi, jirnani, akazi, haya, avani, grinati, niroparani, tatashirani, viharja, nyani, nani, samyati, navani, dehi. Just like a person puts on new garments, giving up the old and useless one, so the soul is putting on new bodies, taking new bodies, giving up the old and useless ones. One who can see that, not only theoretically, but in reality, then they're seeing things objectively. Now, of course, if we don't believe that we're souls, then we won't believe that anyone can see like that, because we don't believe that such a thing exists. But if we have the theoretical knowledge from the beginning of Bhagavad Gita that our bodies are changing, but we ourselves are not changing, then we realize that actually I am a soul, but I'm neither seeing myself as a soul, nor am I seeing everyone else exactly as a spiritual soul. I'm seeing them as they're dressed to some degree. And why am I seeing them as addressed to some degree? Because I'm acting as if people are their bodies, just as I'm acting as if I'm my body. To get over that, we have to surrender to the devotee in disciple succession, and the Bhakti Shrestha is one who surrendered completely to the devotee in disciple succession. So how do we know such a devotee is Bhakti Shrestha? His relatives may not see like that. They may see him as an ordinary being. Indeed, other people may see him, but how can we see him? So what is his qualification? And Krishna says, the Mahatmas, who are under the divine energy, satyam kirti antoma. Very simply, they're always glorifying the Supreme Person. That's their only business. They don't have a art business on one side, another business glorifying the Supreme Lord, another business with their own fan club somewhere. No, their only business is glorifying Krishna, and they're doing it 24 hours a day. That's their whole life. They're addicted to Krishna, as Prabhupada said. That's the qualification of being guru, is you're addicted to Krishna. Satyam kirtiyantamam yatantas cha. And even if there's big difficulties, still you're not deviated from the path. When a locomotive is going down the tracks, if you throw a feather on the tracks and the locomotive gets derailed, then you know it wasn't a very good locomotive. It didn't take much to derail it. It was just a little feather on the track and it was finished. Similarly, some of the claims of that to be a great devotee, we find that in the story of the Krishna book, where we have Bhrigu Muni trying to figure out who is the supreme within this universe. He went first to his father, Brahma, and Brahma came and started to want to embrace him because he's Bhrigu Muni is his son, and Bhrigu just ignored him. So, he by his ignoring, Lord Rama became very disturbed. Here is my son, he's just ignoring me. So he became angry. But because of his great intelligence, he was able to check his anger, just like water is able to check fire. But anyhow, Bhrigu Muni didn't wait around to incite Brahma anymore. But he realized that Brahma didn't take very much to incite Brahma. So he went to Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva came to embrace him. He said, stand away. Get away from me, you dirty so-and-so. You dirty old Shiva. Covered with ashes from the crematorium, snakes around your neck. Please don't touch me, I'm a Brahmin. Lord Shiva didn't take the insult very nicely. He took his trident and decided to offered his trident to Bhrigu Muni right in his chest. Luckily, Parvati fell down at Shiva's feet, pacified him with prayers, and Lord Shiva was calm, Bhrigu Muni took off. So, first the offense was within his mind, by not offering respect to Lord Rama, Lord Rama became agitated. Then the offense was by words, criticizing Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva became agitated. He went to Swetadweep, he entered into the palace, in the ocean of milk, saw that Lord Vishnu was seated there, being massaged by Lakshmi Devi, went up to Lord Vishnu in the palace and kicked him in the chest. Corporal offense, physical offense, the gravest offense. So what did Lord Vishnu do? He got down from his seat or over his bedding and offered obeisances to Bhrigu Muni. And then he took Bhrigu Muni's foot and put it on his lap and began to massage it, saying, my dear Bhrigu Muni, please forgive my offense for not greeting you when you entered into this room. I know you're a great Brahmin. I hope that your soft lotus foot was not damaged when it hit my hard like chest. So please let me massage it to make it feel better. So Bhrigu Muni was quite amazed. Here I've done against Lord Vishnu the greatest offense, and he's, instead of taking offense, he's massaging my foot and asking for forgiveness. So then we realize that Vishnu must be the most tolerant person, the most stable, Dridha, Ratana. Simply engaged in service, a devotee simply engaged in service, undeviated under all circumstances, Rumnapi Vishalayate. Even a heavy problem, he doesn't become disturbed. That is the topmost devotee. Then we have Namas Yantashimam Bhaktya, one who is always humble. Who doesn't think when we get so many praise, we get so much following, so many material things offered, and they don't become disturbed by these things. For instance, Prabhupada, when he went to San Francisco, they had the Mantra Rock Festival. And there are the biggest bands of the time, which you probably don't know. I hope you don't know. Hopefully you don't get too excited when I mention their names. Moby Grape or Jefferson Airplane. I guess the Grateful Dead thing. They took them a while to die. I guess some of them are still kicking or screaming. In any case, the most famous bands at that time, which means that more or less they were the idols of everyone. They were playing, and probably there were, I forget how many thousands of hippies in the audience. And they, when Prabhupada came, they all parted their ways, and there was a, ultimately there was a big kirtan, everyone was dancing and chanting in ecstasy. And then Prabhupada was given, was center stage for practically of the happening place in the in this world at that time, San Francisco during the Haight-Ashbury days. And the next day, one of the devotees noted that Prabhupada was not at all affected by all the adoration he had received in the center of attention. It was as if he was just the normal, humble devotee that he always was. Because when one realizes how great Krishna actually is, then in comparison to Krishna, everyone is quite insignificant. Vishvam Purna Sukhayate Vidhi Mahendri Tis Chakitayate. Compared to Krishna, everyone is insignificant. Krishna is unlimitedly great. And compared to him, everyone is unlimitedly insignificant. Not that they have no significance, just like a little speck of gold from a gold mine has some value. Right now it may be very valuable, since gold is going up so much. Soon you may be able to buy Radhadesh with a little speck of gold at the rate it's going up. But in any case, it's not equal to the gold mine. So these are the qualities that the acharyas have, to actually be an acharya. It is not so easy to become an acharya. It can't be just by being given a position. It is actually the qualities that one has that make one an acharya. And of course, a real acharya, such as Srila Prabhupada, who actually have those qualities, what is the potency that comes from having those qualities? Vidura, when he was coming back from Hastinapur, or to Hastinapur, Marjudasira greeted him with these words, Bhavan Vidas Bhagavatas Tirtha Bhutak Swayam Vibho Tirtha Kurvanti Tirthani Swantak Stena Gatavradaha. That saints like yourself, they are holy places of pilgrimage, verily holy places of pilgrimage, because wherever you go, you turn that place into a place of pilgrimage, because you carry the Supreme Lord within your heart. The Supreme Lord within the heart that he's referring to is not just someone who chants Hare Krishna. That also means that we're bringing Krishna into the atmosphere. Or we may remember Krishna sometimes, and that is also Krishna in the heart. But the topmost devotee, he had not only his Krishna in his heart, actually the original Krishna within his heart, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, just as when Vasudeva transferred Krishna into the mind of Devaki, just like the full moon arises from the ocean at a certain time. So Krishna appeared within the heart of Vasudeva and was transferred into the heart or the mind of Devaki and eventually gave birth. So these full Supreme Personality of Godhead within the heart, along with his eternal associates and abode. Such a personality has immense transcendental, the equal transcendental potency to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because the Supreme Personality of Godhead is manifested wherever he is. So that is how, for instance, Prabhupada spread the Hare Krishna movement. Others may have come and said something about Krishna, but none of them actually had those qualities. They were able to manifest Krishna. When I first saw Srila Prabhupada directly, what impressed me the most was that he was an ocean of transcendental energy. When I first saw him the first time in Buffalo in 1969, walking down the airport, he looked like he was floating, literally floating. And when I saw him subsequently to that, he was full of transcendental energy, which I could experience to different degrees, but it was all transcendental energy. Not only myself, but for instance, when I probably came to Boston in 1969, I saw him walking up the steps of the Boston Temple, it was a two-story building, the whole atmosphere turned into Vaikuntha. I knew it was Vaikuntha because it was not like where I grew up or anywhere else. It was blissful. I was conscious more than usual. And this is the place I wanted to be. Not the Boston Temple, but Vaikuntha. And everyone else in the room that I knew, that I spoke to, they experienced the same thing. Because Prabhupada was actually fully conscious of Krishna. Krishna was manifested through him. And therefore, with such transcendental energy, naturally people would like to become Krishna conscious, because who doesn't want to become blissful? Who doesn't want to become more conscious and that conscious of transcendental pleasure? Therefore, such a person is actually an acharya. An acharya because they're seeing objectively what is actually described in the scripture. I remember Prabhupada sat down in his Vyasasana and he looked at me and I could see he wasn't looking at my material body, he was actually looking at my soul. I should have asked him what he saw, but I didn't. He could actually see me, although I couldn't exactly see who I am. Therefore, such a person is seeing things objectively. Others, they can also help us, and indeed, they will help us if they have more realization, because the path of Krishna consciousness is not black and white. It's just like if you put an iron in the fire, it gets hotter and hotter and hotter, and eventually it becomes just like fire. If we see Rupa Goswami's different steps of devotional service, that's one way of looking at it. A little faith in the beginning, then some association with the devotees, then inspiration to follow the process, then becoming purified of anarthas, then steady devotional service, then taste of devotional service, then attachment to Krishna, then feelings towards Krishna, one's transcendental identity is aroused, and one's transcendental emotions are aroused. And then you multiply that unlimitedly, billions of times, because Baba said to be one ray in the sunlight of prema, then you come up to the platform of Krishna consciousness. Prema. So to think that it is very easy or simple to find pure devotee. We just wish one comes into being and he manifests himself. Well, it would be nice like that. And of course, it doesn't happen like that. Krishna sent someone like Srila Prabhupada or Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada because they were prayed for. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura, another acharya in our line, he prayed for insistence, just as Advaita Acharya prayed for the advent of Lord Chaitanya. Krishna, he's subservient to his devotees, he's Bhaktivatsal, therefore he had Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura manifest, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada came, and of course Prabhupada was also Krishna Shakti Vinanaya Tara Pravartana. He was an empowered representative of Krishna. In any case, everyone is qualified to become an empowered representative of Krishna also, but that depends upon coming to a higher and higher platform. But until we come to the highest platform, then we said to have some subjective understanding of what Krishna consciousness is. After all, for someone to actually be in love with everyone at every moment is not some cheap thing. One who loves Krishna, he loves everyone at every moment. He loves his friends, his enemies, the indifferent and partial. He has as much love for them as he has for Krishna. Although externally when he's preaching, he may not externally manifest that sometimes, but whatever he does is for the benefit of all the conditioned souls, because he actually has transcendental appreciation and love for them. So that can't be imitated. But some knowledge and some not of detachment or bhakti parishan uvakya anyatra tricha ekakala rapanamasya tashtata sus tushti pushti shudapaya nugasa. Some vision how everyone is actually Krishna's servant. Otherwise, how can anyone preach? Or if we do preach, our preaching will not be very effective. Because that is our preaching. You're Krishna's servant. And some appreciation for love for Krishna and everyone and everything in relation to Krishna. And then at the same time, some detachment from the things that draw our mind away from Krishna. Otherwise, my realization will not be very steady. So such devotees who have more knowledge of Krishna consciousness and are more serious about Krishna consciousness, they can certainly help us come to the platform of Krishna consciousness, but they must take shelter of an acharya such as Prabhupada, because by themselves they have not the same objective realization, and therefore it will not be clear to them always how to apply the teachings of Krishna, how to apply the instructions of Krishna perfectly at every moment. But when they are serious about taking shelter of the previous acharya, then, and are engaged in service of the previous acharya with some enthusiasm, then the dami buddhi yogam tam. Then Krishna gives them intelligence by which they can come perform devotional service in higher and higher levels, more and more effectively. So, therefore, Prabhupada formed the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, and part of the objective is to spread Krishna consciousness. Previously, there were acharyas, and sometimes there weren't acharyas. And when there weren't acharyas, Krishna consciousness was slowed down quite a bit, because there was no effective way of spreading Krishna consciousness very widely, because the acharya wasn't present. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission can't depend upon simply the topmost devotee being present. It has to depend upon devotees invoking the topmost devotee by service. He reasons ill who thinks that Vaishnavas die, for thou art living still and sound, for Vaishnavas die to live, and living spread the holy name around. So Prabhupada did not disappear as Krishna doesn't disappear. But Prabhupada is actually present on the Vyasa Sun. We may realize that to different degrees at different times, but Prabhupada, as he was present here during his manifested pastimes, he's also present here, and one who's qualified can actually speak to him and directly get instructions from it. Just as Krishna is here, we don't consider Sri Sri Radha Gopinath as simply statues. Prabhupada was saying in one lecture, you think that people are spending, you know, worshipping a stone for millions of years? Millions and billions of people are worshipping stones and building big, big temples for stones? No, they're actually getting realization that this is God, this is Sakshat Nanda Nandana. This is the Supreme Lord present. So as the Supreme Lord is present in his Archa Vigraha form, so the deity form of the Acharyas are also as good as the Acharyas. They are the Acharyas. Similarly, we can realize that by following their instructions. The words of Krishna in Bhagavad Gita are exactly the same as Krishna. When we hear as much as we hear the Bhagavad Gita, as it is, to that degree Krishna is present. And one day when we hear perfectly, then we'll perfectly perceive Krishna also. Similarly, the instructions of the Acharyas coming in simple succession are as good as the Acharya, and by following them, by surrendering to them, that's how we surrender to the Acharya. And when we completely surrender to the Acharya, then we'll realize the Acharya. And not only in the heart of the Acharya, then we'll see Krishna in the whole spiritual world, along with our whole disciple succession who's present there. Therefore, the words of the Acharya are the Acharya. They're present here to guide the movement, and those who are the most receptive to those words, as Prabhupada said in one place, at the end of the Prabhupada's manifested pastimes, some Indian gentlemen came to him, and they had Prabhupada's servants leave the room. Prabhupada agreed to it. And then they asked Prabhupada, these Indian gentlemen, who will be the next leader? And Prabhupada told them, and he told his disciples afterwards, he said, anyone who becomes the best follower, he'll become the best leader. Not that I say that you become the Acharya and you become the leader. No, all my followers, Prabhupada said, as much as they follow, to that extent they become leader. That doesn't mean that now we give up all the different positions, etc. We don't respect the person who gives us initiation, or the BBC, or the temple president, or the sannyasi, because it's all, the real leader is the one who's the best follower. First of all, we may not be so perceptive to know who's the best follower. The second thing is that Prabhupada has also given us different services to do, so we're supposed to become a servant. You have to become a servant of someone. And if the conditioned soul has to make a decision at every moment based upon his sentiment, who he wants to serve at that moment, then he'll wind up serving no one. Servant of everyone means servant of no one. Otherwise, as at the beginning of when we first had initiating gurus in our society, devotees had the idea, let me accept Shiksha gurus. And they accepted Shiksha gurus. They accepted Shiksha gurus. Specifically, some of them accepted Shiksha gurus because they accepted pizza and ice cream. And because their initiating guru didn't accept pizza and ice cream, they couldn't offer it to him. Therefore, if their Shiksha guru accepted pizza and ice cream, they can offer it to him and 7-Up, of course. And and therefore, it was prasad. Anyhow, this type of accepting of Shiksha gurus is not very serious. Now we have to accept authorities and we have to follow them according to how much they're actually authorized. Not that they necessarily are 100% perfect. Just like if you want to take instructions, if you want to learn golf. This is not a suggestion. If you want to learn golf, you go to a golf pro who knows more about golf than you do. That doesn't mean that the golf pro has to hit a hole-in-one every time. You see the golf pro, he takes him 3 times to hit the ball into the hole. You think, how can he be a pro? He's imperfect. I'm not going to learn from him. It may take you 10 times to hit it into the hole. But if you think, well, he didn't hit it into the hole at every time, he's imperfect, how can he be a pro? No, because he knows better than you, he has something to train you. Similarly, there are positions, and what are we trying to learn? We're trying to learn humility, we're trying to learn a service attitude, we're trying to learn surrender, and therefore there are services given by persons who are judged to be the most capable in those services, and we're supposed to follow their instructions. They may not be 100% perfect, but if we follow them, then if they're giving perfect instructions, or if they're giving instructions that are authorized in the civil succession, then even if they're not perfect, if we follow them, in that way we'll become perfect. Because it's the instructions that we consider to be perfect. That's the criteria. If the instructions are perfect, or if they're authorized from the perfect authorities coming down in the line of the civil succession, then we consider that those instructions, by following them, that will make us perfect. Perfectly Krishna conscious. Not perfect golf players, or perfect tennis players, or perfect artists, or perfect businessmen. They'll make us perfectly Krishna conscious. Therefore, Prabhupada's books we value the most. Prabhupada pointed out that that was his most valuable contribution, because these instructions coming down in the civil succession from the perfect transparent Bhaya media, such as Srila Prabhupada, they're alive as much as they're alive when we spoke them or wrote them. And if we appreciate that, try to hear them, try to remember them, try to accept them, try to apply them in our lives, then our relation with Krishna is immediately manifested, because this is service of the super soul in the heart. This is actually Antaryami Bhakti Shesa Eduru Group. This is actually accepting the spiritual master and following the instructions. Therefore, Bhagavad writes that the acharya, in the true sense of the term, was authorized to deliver Krishna, enriches the disciple with full spiritual knowledge, and thus awakens him to the activities of Krishna consciousness. So as much as Prabhupada was the actual acharya who was authorized to deliver Krishna, and any one of us can become an acharya also, as much as we understand the teachings, as much as we apply them, as much as we realize them, then Krishna is manifested. And our love for Krishna is awoken. And therefore we can see so many different gurus, just like Prabhupada, the real guru, is one who can see so many gurus everywhere. In one lecture, Prabhupada said that the spiritual master, not just someone who gave initiation, but the actual person who's the master of spiritual life, that when he has disciples and followers, he doesn't think that when he gives an instruction, that these are my instructions. He knows that these instructions, they're actually coming from the super soul. They're coming from my spiritual master, by immediately the super soul, who's reminding me what my spiritual master has said. And when I give those instructions to my followers, and they apply them, then I see that they're actually serving my spiritual master, and I learn from them how to become a better servant of my spiritual master. Therefore, the actual acharya, as Prabhupada wrote another letter to Janardhan in 1968, is generally taken from the category of personalities like Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is a personality like Srimati Radharani. Srimati Radharani doesn't consider others to be her servants. She considers herself to be a servant of all the other devotees. And when she sees another devotee serving Krishna, she takes them as her guru, how to serve Krishna better. So this is called Mahabhagavan. They see everyone else as a better servant of Krishna than they are. It cannot be imitated, but such persons are actually acharyas. So we're being trained to become such an acharya. But even if sometimes we may not have such an acharya, Prabhupada wrote in that letter, he said there are others who are not on such an exalted level, they can also take the role of an initiating spiritual master if they perfectly follow the instructions of the predecessor acharyas. Then they become qualified. Whereas Prabhupada said, little thing, strict follower. It doesn't mean that they can give us all the information, or that perfectly at every moment they're seeing like that, or they even realize that. But still, if they're a strict follower, we can take them as our guru and learn from them how to advance in devotional service. Therefore, all of us have become a strict follower of the teachings coming down from Prabhupada. And anyone who's a strict follower like that, they can also become a leader for others and teach them about how to surrender to the instructions coming down in specific succession. And that way, one day, come into the realm of spiritual life, real spiritual life, and where one is actually awakened again to the activities of devotional service. Before that, Prabhupada said in that Nectar Devotion lecture, the first one, he said before that we're training to become devotees. You may not like to hear the word proper to bhakti, but Prabhupada said even that stage, if one is serious, then he can also, he's actually on the level of pure devotional service. But we shouldn't think that simply we're being trained and therefore we're perfect already, just by giving the name of devotee or bhakta. We're aspiring to become to the level of devotional service, and in that stage that we'll actually understand what Krishna consciousness, we'll begin to understand what it actually means to be conscious of Krishna. So I'm going to stop there. Well, the Jai Bhagavad.